Sometimes we'll hear a lesson that seems very straightforward or very easy to understand. And other times we'll hear something that sounds very odd or off-putting, something that might even bother us, such as a woman begging Jesus for help and he calls her a dog. That might seem unusual or surprising to us. We might even feel disappointed or confused by that. But I like the really odd stories of Jesus, and I think they have a lot to teach us if we're willing to listen. One way that I listen to the stories of Jesus is not just to read one story by itself, but to read the stories that come before or after it as well. Because something that we witness in the Gospels is that Jesus often tells a story more than once. And so, for instance, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus gives a lesson about finding lost things, and he tells that story three times in a row. Once about a woman losing a coin and finding it, once about lost sheep, and once about lost sons coming home. This is something that he frequently does, and he does it also in our reading today from Matthew. So in this reading, we hear a lesson told twice, once in a direct teaching to the disciples, and then reiterated in a controversial encounter with that Canaanite woman. Now, this was going to be a difficult lesson, so Jesus starts with a command: listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles. When he says this, he's not just referring to what we eat and how we speak. He goes further, saying that unwashed hands do not make us unclean, but evil intentions, slander, murder, they do that. So this contrast of attributing purity to inward intentions rather than external physical circumstances was challenging, maybe even radical, in their culture. If we look back to the Old Testament, we can read the purity laws that the Israelites were given when they were first formed into a group of people. And so, for instance, they were instructed not to eat animals that were scavengers, like vultures. They were not to eat animals that were bottom dwellers, like shellfish. They were to be careful around dead bodies. They were to wash themselves in certain ways on certain days. And if you notice a pattern, most of these purity laws were boundaries for health and safety to avoid the spreading of disease in a time when you could die from just about anything. But their religious beliefs were not seen as being separate from their physicality. So your physical well-being, what you ate and how you washed yourself, that was part of your personal piety. And so following the laws not only kept you safe, it was also a way to show thanksgiving to God in your daily choices. But unfortunately, some people took so much pride in following these physical laws that they thought the cleanliness of their bodies earned them something. Though the laws were intended to be done out of thanksgiving to God, it became more like a holiness competition. And those who could not afford to compete, those who had no clean clothes, those who had no good food, they just had no chance at all. But Christ tells us that it is not dirt that defiles us, and it is not cleanliness that makes us holy. Have you ever known someone who was really clean on the outside? Maybe someone whose home was meticulous, but inwardly, something about their heart or their soul was neglected. Have you ever had a tough season yourself? A time when you were hurting or when you were tired, but you felt like you had to present a good version of yourself, a cleaned up image of yourself. So you wash your face and you put on a clean shirt and you pretend that everything is okay. I think we can all admit that we've done that before. But how often do we do that with God? How often do we come to God presenting a better version of ourselves, presenting Him with a cleaned up image, thinking that it earns us something? Jesus told another story about this, of two men who went to pray. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Now let's be clear that fasting and tithing were not bad things for the Pharisee to do. He was very committed to doing what he thought was right. But the danger is that it opens the door to a very subtle temptation that comes alongside good works. As Jesus put it, it's the temptation to trust in our own righteousness, the temptation that our cleanliness makes us worthy. The Pharisee brought a self-righteous image, listing his accomplishments, comparing himself to others, and pride is what rose up from his mouth in prayer. The tax collector did not present a cleaned-up image. He did not hide his brokenness, and he did not claim to be worthy. He came as a bare soul, and what rose up from his mouth was repentance. Jesus said, "It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. It is what comes out of the mouth." We see this lesson play out again in our story from Matthew, when Christ meets the Canaanite woman, and the first thing she says is, "Have mercy on me." This is the same prayer as the tax collector. "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." In addition to those purity laws about what they ate and how they washed, the people of Israel were also instructed not to intermix with foreigners. Jesus acknowledges that she is not an Israelite. He acknowledges how her external image would have caused her to be unclean. He even calls her a dog, reiterating how the people in his culture would have seen her if purity was based on the outside. Yet, what rises up within her, what comes out of her mouth, is faith. Because it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles us. It is what comes out of the mouth. It's not her external circumstance or physical limitations that define her. It's what rises up within. Because the Canaanite woman, she doesn't bring a list of accomplishments. She doesn't claim to be worthy. Like the tax collector who came to pray, she doesn't hide who she is. She doesn't hide her needs or her brokenness. She comes as a bare soul. She declares unapologetically that what she needs is Jesus. Not because she has earned him, but because they can't survive without him. Like a dog who lives off of scraps, that's how much she says she needs him. That's how desperate she is for Jesus. When that Pharisee came to pray, he listed the things that he himself does, the things that he can do. But the tax collector and the Canaanite woman, they cry out for mercy because they know there's something they can't do. There is something they can't earn. There's something they can't work for. There's something they can't clean up. There's something only Jesus can do. The tax collector and the Canaanite woman had repentance and faith rising up out of them, because they were desperate enough to present their real, honest selves to God. They brought just their bare souls, not some good image. The Pharisee was so preoccupied with proving his image, with proving himself worthy, that he brought God a list of accomplishments. In fact, we often try to give God things that he does not ask for.